only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally. You guys, it's taking it personally. I truly am about to sneeze. I can feel it. I can feel the energy building. Something is about to happen. And I know it's not just this episode, which
look
I
at
am.
The light. I know.
I am very excited to deep dive Vanderpump Rules with one of my favorite guest co-hosts. You know him as a Bravoholic vulture blogger whose other credits include Vogue, The Cut, and the LA Times, among others. Tom Smythe, welcome back to the Clawfest, Tom Smith Smythe. How are we?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
I can't think of you without thinking Smith Smythe. Remember that entire episode where I was like, Tom Smith? over and over again until the very end. Listen, I feel like it's been a minute. How are we? How are we feeling? What's happening?
I'm good. I'm surviving this housewives drought that we're in. Yeah. Tough times. I think I saw someone tweet that this is really crunching the numbers. It's mm-hmm. the first time since the Obama administration, yeah. I believe, mm-hmm. that we've had
Dylan
such
Hafer.
A long drought.
Oh, Dylan Hafer did
of course.
I recorded an episode of his podcast, Mention It All, and during the episode we talked about that, mm-hmm. and I was like, I think maybe both of us were like, how long has this ever happened before? And then after we recorded, he looked up, which I think is a bit of a task to yeah. like look up every single season of everything and match to see if there has ever been a lapse of a week.
Like, yeah, that's like a beautiful mind.
It literally is a beautiful mind, and discovered that not since the Obama administration. Thank God, though, Jersey yeah. is looming and we can get back a sense of stability. Our country needs stability now mm-hmm. more than ever. And that will come with Teresa ignoring Melissa's existence for 18 to 22 episodes.
And it's such a good one to kind of get back in, because it's not like, thank God it's not Dubai.
Oh, thank God it's not Dubai.
Because that would be such a bummer.
That would be so sad.
Fine, like this. But Jersey is just, I feel like Jersey is like pizza, where even when it's bad, it's good. Like it's just, there's something there for you. And so I'm really looking forward to this, what is surely going to be a bizarre season where these two people are not talking to each other mm-hmm. at all. So it's going to be like a fun social experiment too, I feel like, for production.
What are your expectations for it as a viewer versus as a blogger, recapper, creator?
I think as a viewer, honestly, this is so silly. I just love being in that world of Jersey specifically. Like, I love going down the shore with them. Mm-hmm. And also, I grew up like upstate New York, right on the border of Jersey. So this is the kind of show that feels the most like home. And yeah, but going down the shore, going on their terrible vacations with them, being around the kitchen island again, like it's very atmospheric in terms of these shows. So I like that as a viewer. I like hanging out with Dolores.
Oh, we love.
Who could ask for more than that? And then, yeah, I guess in a more like covering it sense, I am really interested in how that dynamic works of having these two women who are refusing to engage with one another mm-hmm. on a show, because I don't think we've really seen anything quite as just explicitly cut and dry, like this is the situation before. So I don't know if it'll work. It might work, but it'll be interesting to watch.
It's definitely unsustainable. We've mm-hmm. seen that with just other shows when it comes to people not opening up about their lives versus not refusing to have relationships or engage with each other. And I think we're seeing it on Vanderpump Rules too. It's yeah. like, there does seem to be a little bit of an opening up just in acknowledging the existence of other people, but we're also running smack dab into the idea that several of these people now truly, since filming, do not want to fuck with each other, mm-hmm. which does bring up a similar challenge of like, how do you film a show if people are at extreme crossroads? Not as extreme as Teresa and Melissa, which is like decades plus shit mm-hmm. that they've been dealing with each other. But when it comes to VPR, we are reaching that exhaustion point, I think, at yeah. least.
Yeah. And it's, I think what makes Vanderpump difficult is the cast is so thin. There, it's such a, compared to what it has been in the past, where, I mean, the number of cast members that that show has had in the past has been so over the top in the best way. And now, technically, it's a normal-sized reality show cast. Mm-hmm. But given the circumstances of how separate some of these people are, it just makes it tougher for it all to work, I think.
Yeah, the end of the episode when Ariana and Schwartz and Katie were kind of like fucking with each other and having fun.
Yeah.
It was such a relief to just see Ariana joking around with someone who isn't essentially Katie at this point. As much as I love Ariana and Katie together, it was nice to see them be able to acknowledge Schwartz's existence and like joke with him. And it just kind of tells you something about this season, that a moment like that would really be such a standout for me in the episode. I don't know entirely what that means, except to say I was grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's such a weird season because going in, especially at the height of Scandoval, it was like, how do they ever manage to film a show? And it seemed like they would never be in the same shot together again. And so it almost feels like a tiny little miracle that they're even at the same group events. It seems crazy, but that also is in the DNA of the show, I think, where it has this insane resiliency in terms of these people bouncing back from the horrible, horrible things they've done to each other. So it's kind of ingrained in the process. So I didn't doubt that we would get here. And I'm curious if this path will, if we'll continue in this direction. In a way that makes it possible for the show to go on. But it is this weird crossroads. And I think with the reunion and hearing about how the dynamic shifted surrounding that, and now they're taking, supposedly taking a pause in filming, I'm curious how it shakes out heading into next season.
Yeah. And, you know, I talked about this on a Patreon episode. There's a two-part Patreon spectacular up now. And during it, I talked about a TMZ report that VPR is seemingly taking a break for the summer because production wants the cast to just have a chance to breathe. They went so quickly, just a couple months out from even finding out about the Scandoval, into filming this current season, that they need a moment to just kind of breathe and, you know, ideally have developed things in their lives that aren't so closely connected with the Scandoval or the show itself, because that's what we need. We need content. What was your reaction to that report in the news that it's not that VPR is being canceled, which is certainly a topic people have discussed season nine and now, but that it's taking a, you know, months long pause?
I feel like I don't think it would be canceled. I think they'll, especially because of this moment that we're in with it, like if the ratings are good, no matter what the actual content of the show is doing,
that's a great point.
If the ratings are good, Bravo's not changing anything. So that's why the Jersey cast is exactly the same, is because last season, even though it was clear, oh, this isn't going to be sustainable, this isn't working story-wise, the ratings were good. So they're not going to mess with it. And I think that's the same, where Vanderpump is riding this high of being in the public consciousness in this new way that it really hasn't been, that even though it maybe didn't meet that moment this season, I think it would be premature to do anything crazy. I think more than anything, it might just be that Ariana has to film Love Island. It is Love Island. And I feel like,
fuck up the name in my head.
There's a million of
them. Yeah, 100%.
So I could also see it being that, like, oh, she has to do this. And also, I feel like I could see it being something where she's like, do I even want to come back? And them trying to make sure she does. But I don't know. Honestly, I think more than anything, I'll be interested to see what their lives look like in fall. We've never seen that. We've never seen them experience the seasons. We've only had them from like Pride to Labor Day. And so I think it'll be interesting. Honestly, make it, remember what Jersey used to do with the holidays? I want to see these kids at Christmas.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be interesting. That could be a fresh new take on the series. It could really rejuvenize the entire experiment.
Yeah, to see some sweaters, some crew necks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bring Jack's back for his sweaters.
Throw it off. Reveal another sweater underneath. You know, speaking of all things Ariana, I think she's probably the biggest, if not only, question mark when it comes to cast members wanting to return. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that she will return, and do you think that she should?
I think she should. I think that it's, I mean, obviously the world's her oyster, and I think the Love Island thing is a huge get for her to have another home base. I think that that's part of the reason I think she should stay, is because I think Vanderpump Rules and having a show like this is an incredible home base for somebody to then branch off of. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what she would want to. I mean, it's a tough situation. I would say it's tough to be coworkers with your ex, Tom Sandoval, like this. But at the same time, if you lived with him mm-hmm. for months and months and months after this, I don't see having to like go to a couple of parties and shoot with him being that big of a downside to warrant giving up this gig. Because if it's that terrible that you would give up being on this television show, you would have moved out of the house. Like, yeah. It's, I just think, and also I could see it being the same reasoning where she didn't move out of the house because she was sort of standing her ground and be like, well, why am I the one who has to move?
Yeah.
It could be the same thing with the show. Why am I the one who has to get off the show? Because the second she does, all is forgiven with Tom Sandoval, because none of that's coming up anymore. It's just the group of friends again. Like, mm-hmm. they're only kind of giving him a hard time because Ariana's there. So if she's not in the picture, he's just back in the fold like nothing ever happened. So I feel like it's in her best interest to stick around and kind of remind everyone what's going on, and have people on her side and as the show continues.
The thing that's so weird right now, and it sort of to me cannot be, it needs to be discussed as frequently, because I think about it all the time, is that the environment right now is so fucking weird with Ariana, Lala, and Sheena specifically. Mm-hmm. There's obvious tension between Sheena and Ariana, or probably better phrased, Ariana and Sheena. And there's this whole fucking sort of one participant, one-sided feud right now with Lala and Ariana that I'm like, is it even a Tom issue right now? Because my thought is she's relying, it's sort of almost like a no-brainer that her friends would be in support of her, that she might be able to stay on the show and move forward. But if she doesn't have that and she has to see Tom, you know, in the corner of her eye, mm-hmm. It feels like a dynamic is being set up where, how could she stay? She can't just film with Katie.
Yeah.
We can't do that. Something about her, God bless, but like, it can't be sandwich o'clock every hour on the hour.
She could try.
She could try.
I think it's something where,
for like $500,000 or whatever she's getting paid, she could certainly try.
Like, I think it's one of those things where she could easily be like, well, this is what I'm doing. You paid. I got my contract, and these are the films. These are the scenes I will do, and these are the ones I won't do. But I do think it is such an interesting dynamic with, and I do think Tom is being more and more removed from what's mm-hmm. at play between Sheena and Lala and Ariana. And I think, and I hope this comes up more. I feel like I saw it in the trailer where the conversation turns to Ariana being this star now. Mm-hmm. And that changing the dynamics. And I think we talked about it with Dancing with the Stars. I think we started to kind of scratch the surface there. I think Lala says something in the trailer about her head getting too big. I feel like that is a very, very real conversation that I hope we get more of as the season kind of wraps up. Because I do think, not to say that I agree that anything is going to Ariana's head, but it's an undeniable seismic shift in the group dynamics to all of a sudden have Ariana, who kind of was like amazing and I loved her always, but she was never like star of the show, and now all of a sudden it's like unbelievable celebrity status, which every single person on the show has been chasing since before cameras went up on the series. Like, this is what the, why they're all in LA. And now they're seeing Ariana get it. And that's kind of going to be this unspoken element in how their relationship shift, I feel like.
Yeah. And, you know, it is for most of the people in the cast, their primary job. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say it is Ariana. She just has like 16 different primary jobs at this point.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of tension. Did you watch the Watch What Happens with Ariana and Katie?
No, I saw some clips, but.
So it was a little interesting because I think Andy was kind of acclimating the best he could, mm-hmm. but there was definitely a sense where he was saying this, and he wasn't being like passive aggressive at all, but he was referencing the fact that when he's asking questions to Ariana about how did you feel when this thing happened and that thing happened, she's like, I didn't watch the show. And she says, I didn't watch it because I was on Broadway in production for Chicago. I needed to focus on the show. Now, I 100% fully support that and believe it. Because of timing or whatever else, she wasn't able to, I guess, prep for the reunion, or maybe didn't want to at that point to catch mm-hmm. up on 1,000 episodes. I think she was just primarily watching clips. But there is something to be said for the fact that she's going to go into the reunion not having seen all of these episodes. So when you talk about commitment, I'm not agreeing with Lala at all. I'm just stating the fact that this person is like at the core of the show. If she, for mental health reasons, doesn't want to watch the episodes, I completely understand it. Mm-hmm. I completely understand and frankly agree with her not being swept up into current episodes when she needed to focus on Broadway. Like, I 100% support her in that. And in addition to that, it is tough when you're like filming a reunion and going on a live television show to answer questions and you don't have all of the information that everyone else does just in the edited episodes. And her response to that is, I lived it, but you did not live all of these confessionals that were being filmed. Like, yeah. Other things were happening where you were being discussed that I think she would have an opinion about. And I just wonder that kind of spirit. I think Lala has exaggerated it and penalized Ariana for it and used it against her in a way that I think is just like too much. Mm-hmm. But I do think that is the thing that people will focus on, that she doesn't need to focus on the show as much as everyone else.
Yeah, definitely. And it feels like, I mean, it's not the first time a Bravo celebrity has said like, totally. Oh, I don't watch the show, or absolutely. Oh, I just fast forward to my scenes.
I don't think Kyle does.
Or, yeah. Yeah. But it does feel surprising because it's like, especially with something as, you know, when she's that first seat at the reunion, it feels like showing up empty-handed to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Where everybody has all this information.
Yeah.
And you are opting not to show up as prepared as you can be. So it definitely, in this sense in particular, feels like a decision to be like less invested.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine Broadway was very intensive for her and she couldn't spare the 44 minutes a week, but Rihanna doesn't miss an episode of any of these shows. Like, there are people.
She sacrificed her recording career in order to be a Bravo-holic.
That's
okay.
True.
The
That's
woman
why she
has given
music.
Up music in order to watch VPR.
Yeah, that might. Okay, that supports Ariana's claim then, actually. You can't do both.
You can't do both. No. You can only do one or the other. Yeah. Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French Bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely, genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ANDYSGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, happymammoth.com, and use the code ANDYSGIRLS for 15% off today. I also think for Ariana, the thing that if I was Lala, for example, and God bless if I was, but if I was Lala, I would say if Ariana's pushing back on stuff, I would say, you know, you haven't watched the full episode.
Yeah.
There's stuff that happened that you missed. So how can you have a take on a clip if you haven't seen the full thing?
Mm-hmm.
If I was Ariana watching the episodes, I would be thinking to myself, wow, more of this makes you look worse. But she can't argue that because she hasn't seen it.
Yeah, it discredits her. It discredits anything she wants to kind of throw out, or it gives them the ability to discredit.
Yeah, that's
she
the
wants
thing. It gives them the ability to
throw out. But if they're bright enough to pull that card, we'll see. But
I
they
think
can.
That they are. Yeah. I think that they are. Okay, I need to ask you a question because I know that this has been a thing that a lot of people have talked about. When they talk about Lala and Sheena, I feel like both of them have been grouped together of like some viewers criticizing Lala's motivations, her behavior in real time, on her podcast, on social, on Amazon Live. She has a couple streams of income there. Certainly on the show, whatever else, for the way that she has seemed so punitive and a little nasty in how she's talked about Ariana. I feel like Sheena has gotten lumped into that. And I'm just sort of curious for your thoughts on the Sheena of it all when it comes to Sheena and Ariana's relationship.
I feel like they're very different situations,
yeah,
but I understand the grouping because I think Lala's issue with Ariana is Ariana's attitude kind of changing and her, you know, the gravitas factor. I think that really gets under Lala's skin. With Sheena, I think it's the external stuff happening to Ariana. And I think it's the Dancing with the Stars and the brand deals and all of this. And I feel like that is saddening Sheena. And I think that Lala's positioning is maybe a little bit more like angry, and Sheena's is a little bit more sad in terms of how they feel about what's going on. And I do think with Sheena, it is more centering herself in this whole situation, per usual, which I love. but because of that, her feelings are, oh, Ariana's getting all of this stuff that I wanted, and I can't be friends with this person that I have been friends with forever. So it's sort of this, I think they have very different perspectives. But both of those perspectives do put them in a similar place with Ariana.
What do you think about Sheena's perspective on forgiveness versus moving forward? Or seemingly they're using the word moving on, but it feels like it's moving forward when it comes to all things Tom.
I feel like Sheena I feel like she goes by the old school Vanderpump Rules. That was an accident. but that playbook of like early days where they would do this stuff and it would, no one would blink. You know, like this, if this happened in season three, nobody would have thought anything of it because it was one of a million things like this that were always happening. And the playbook always said that everyone just kind of bounces back, and there's this resiliency that was crazy. And I think Sheena is that old guard where she subscribes to that and is used to that way of doing things. So that's where she's coming from. Ariana, obviously being much closer to what happened, is kind of throwing that rule book away and is like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that doesn't make any sense, which is fair. And I think they're just playing by different rule books in terms of how they approach this type of situation. And I think that the term moving forward or moving through it wouldn't exist without a television show happening around them. Like, I think it's about the health of the show and their careers. I think that's a major, major factor in how they are navigating this, because they recognize after doing this for so many years, the reason for that built-in resiliency is because they have a show to make. And if Ariana is kind of putting this blockade up, that isn't just a blockade on Tom Sandoval's relationships with the cast, it's a blockade on the health of the show. And that scares them all. That's their job security.
Is she not allowed to forgive Tom?
Hmm. Depends on who she wants to be friends with, I think. I think she... I don't know, honestly. I feel like that's... It's sort of this three-pronged thing where her decision, no matter what decision it is going to have ramifications. And those ramifications are, you know, can be warranted. I think if she wants to forgive him, they were friends before any of this, she can. But at the same time, she can't expect Ariana to not kick her to the curb as a result of that. Like, I don't think there's a way for Sheena to have it all.
It's hard to understand whether or not Sheena understands that there's a choice being made, that she, to Ariana, cannot have both. Like, I watched the episode twice. Maybe this is just a one-off comment, but Ariana did say at one point, like, she's not allowed to forgive him. The way that it was phrased was that in Ariana's mind, Sheena forgiving Tom would be hurting Sheena because of what Tom has done to her, obviously on top of what he has done to her very good friend. Mm-hmm. I just wonder about the allowance, how aware of that Sheena is. And I don't want to like discredit that she might be very aware and that we're watching her make a choice. I don't want to like infantilize her. I'm just curious if that
ultimatum has been laid out for her.
Right. If she understands it and is just ignoring it and thinking maybe this will be okay, or because she keeps phrasing it as like moving on, which I don't see. Mm-hmm. I see them having these moments. And I say that genuinely, like without judging her as I say this out loud. I certainly have an opinion of it, but just as a viewer, what I see her literally doing is trying to figure out a way to repair her relationship with Tom, which is different from the whole thing that fucking Brock was talking about with Ariana, which is like, you know, what is it? Like, revenge is the anger is the poison that you drink. You know what that fucking phrase is. Yeah. Something about poison. Don't do it. Call the
hoping the other poison person control. Dies.
Yes, 100%. And I just kind of, for everything that I could say about Brock, I understood what he was trying to communicate, which is like holding on to this is not healthy for you. And maybe adding on to what he was saying, it gives that person power to hold on to it. Conversely, as Ariana said, a man's rage is not weaponized in a way that a woman's is. And why do I have to let go of this thing? He harmed me.
Yeah.
Like letting go of anger, I think, is different from refusing someone's potential apology. But Ariana's arguing I can and should be allowed to do both. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. In a normal world, in a normal life, Ariana wouldn't be having to have these conversations.
She would never talk to him again.
Yeah. And it would just be no contact. It would be blocked. It would be that. But now it's this weird situation where everyone is, you know, playing by TV rules and trying to make just everything work. And Ariana is coming from a more logical, real life place of just being like, what are you guys talking about? Like, this is a crazy thing to come to me with, but it's very bizarre to kind of watch these two schools of thought try to mesh.
I actually, when I was watching the episode, I was like, oh, aspects of this are really interesting to me in a way that's like not positive about anybody on the screen, but welcome to Andy's Girls and Tip. Because with the last scene with Tom, where Sheena's talking to Tom about why apologies are sometimes helpful in life, that scene itself had a lot there. But the thing that I kind of had as a takeaway when I was leaving was, isn't it so interesting? And I really don't mean this as a dick. I really, people usually know when I do. And like, this is not necessarily one of those moments, but it might come off as dickish because, you know, it might be. But it's interesting that Sheena is interested in moving forward with Tom, potentially, using that phrase. She might disagree with it. And she's like talking about possible forgiveness and their relationship and their history. It's just interesting that she's taking that step before he's apologized to Ariana.
Yep.
It's just interesting to me that they're on this parallel path, and I don't know if a parallel path is appropriate here. Mm-hmm. Like, Sheena has the right to make decisions in her life, and Ariana might not be in her life as a result, but it is just fascinating to me that she's comfortable, or maybe not comfortable, but willing to take on the role of, like, trying to teach Tom that apologizing is a good thing. Because he's a grown-ass man. Yeah. He's obviously choosing, like, if he needs someone to explain that to him, there are much larger issues here. But regardless, it's fascinating to me that she's having this conversation with him, knowing that he still hasn't apologized to Ariana for what he did.
Mm-hmm. And I think Ariana's perspective of Sheena not being allowed to forgive him could also be in the sense that her forgiving him could either feel or look like she's doing it on Ariana's behalf.
Mm.
And I think that that could be a real point of contention where she's kind of like, don't let this speak for me. Like,
yeah,
don't give him your blessing as if you have any authority to give your a blessing to absolve him from this Scandoval thing. Like, Sheena's perspective might be more on the individual level between the two of them, but Optic's could also be that she is absolving him from this whole thing, and that just looks to, you know, to the viewer that he is being absolved,
mm,
when that's really Ariana's place to, you know, decide to grant that or not. So I feel like there, again, could be something lost in translation between what forgiveness, what they're granting this forgiveness, mm-hmm, for, and who is doing it.
And in addition to that, you know, there's this confessional with Tom where he's talking about the fact that, you know, I was trying to explain myself. Maybe it looked like I was blaming Ariana, and that's not okay. And I just thought of that moment because I was like, okay. But in addition to that, in addition to, like, I was trying to explain myself and it looked like I was blaming her, no part of that sentence is like, and also she deserves an apology.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about, I was explaining myself and it looked like I blamed her. That's bad in and of itself. But on top of that, you're also blaming her without apologizing.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, I mean, spoiler alert, really fucking manipulative and, like, base, bottom level, emotionally immature.
Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, something that's interesting about their dynamic that probably doesn't get talked about all that much is it's very clear, like, we know that Ariana hates Tom.
Yeah.
Like, cut News and at dry. 11.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think what isn't really acknowledged too much, because there really isn't space for it to come up, I think Tom hates Ariana and did at this kind of end of the relationship moment, because I think he wouldn't have done what he did if he didn't hate her, if he didn't have this built up resentment, if he didn't have these feelings. There just was no way, and there still is no way, for him to kind of come out and express that same disdain that she has permission to express. Now, hers is much more warranted.
Mm.
His could just be, you know, the end of a relationship and growing resentment towards someone and stuff like that. But there isn't really a place for that to be said. So I think it ends up coming through in his actions and in that refusal to throw her a bone in any type of apology, in anything like that. So I think that strong, strong disdain comes out through these actions.
Maybe it's dismissive of me, but I don't think he fucked Rachel for 7+ months. And I do not believe it was only 7, but that's just my conspiracy, mm-hmm, theory. I don't think that he, like, was fucking her because he hated Ariana. I think he was fucking her because he wanted to and could. I think what we saw as a result of that, when, you know, people found out, was him forcing himself to hate her in order to come up with a reason to explain the affair. Mm,
justify it after the
and
fact.
And he settled into that space of, like, mm-hmm, she won't allow me to get away with this. And I say that while also noting one of my favorite phrases, that both of them have talked about the difficulty in their relationship toward the end of it. Yeah. Like, Ariana got into that. I forget if it was on the after show. Is she even on the after show? I've seen every episode of the after show. Or maybe she was talking about it on Watch What Happens Live when she was like, you know, someone asked her, would you still be with Tom had this not happened? It was a question along those lines. And her response was like, I don't know, because we weren't in a good place.
Yeah.
That to me was the first time that I heard her say that they weren't in a good place. I don't believe that they were at the point that Tom says that they were in, because I just don't believe him. I think that he's lying about a lot of it. But it is, I think, to me, helpful to hear that, you know, they were dealing with stuff. They were dealing with some challenges. She's saying that now, looking back. So that can color it as well. But when it comes to his upset at her, and yeah, definitely hatred, maybe there was some of that at the tail end. Maybe there was some of that because she wouldn't let him get away with stuff that other people would. I think there is something to be said for the fact that he, like many men his age, are going after much, much younger women, because I don't think he's looking for someone who's equal to him in like life experiences, let alone career, which he gets the choice to make. But I think that when it comes to Tom, like something about the equality in their relationship, I'm not saying that it's like a misogyny situation, I'm just saying something about the equality in their relationship might be something that developed into a negative feeling of some kind, but I don't think that he hated her and that's the reason why he was fucking rich.
And I think there would be a lot at play, but I think there were definitely, even just what we did see on the show in terms of the weak spot in the relationship there. But in terms of the equality thing, something that comes to mind is the cocktail book. I feel like that was something is a great example of that power dynamic between the two of them at play, where Ariana's doing this cocktail book and he weasels his way in. He's saying, you know, I should be the one doing a cocktail book. And then they did end up doing it together. But
because he wouldn't sort of let her do it on her own. I take back what I just said about misogyny not being a part of it. Misogyny 100% was a part of it. I don't know why I was sensitive to that. I think it's because I literally recorded a Patreon episode of an hour of me talking about sexism on Summer House, that I'm like, when it comes to like gender roles on Summer House and also Vanderpump Rules in the Valley, that I was like, wait, I don't know if that applies to this as well. But like, yeah, 100%.
And when they started, he had more seniority on the show, in this world.
And more fame, more power.
Yeah.
He brought her in because of their relationship.
It did mirror Rachel a little bit in terms of their respective 10 years on the show at that point. And he was the original. And yeah, it's a pattern.
It's just so wild to see us in a place. It's like kind of depressing when it comes to like thinking about some of these relationships. It's a little bit of a downer. And the Sheena of it all, I really genuinely have empathy for her. I just am befuddled by some of her choices, but I don't think she's like doing this to I think her intentions are different from Lala's. I think her behavior, while it's not something I would necessarily do myself, it doesn't need to be. I think it's fascinating, especially for a podcast that's all about like psychology and talking about these behaviors, to really focus on Sheena's. And I think her situation is being simplified in a way that's like a little unfair to her and maybe us. And it's not that I'm taking away from the fact that she does center herself in everything and she's making choices that I may or may not agree with, maybe err on the side of disagree. It's just, it's sort of fascinating to focus on that, because I don't think I have necessarily on a tip or AG episode until this. So I'm very appreciative to you for talking about it. And I think the difficulty too is like, Lala's doing her whole I'm a better friend to Sheena than Ariana ever was campaign. And it's difficult to watch Sheena continue to side with people who are giving her what she wants, which is like a very specific kind of support. It's not really a support that we're seeing have any balance with like accountability. And I'm sure Lala would like fight for her or whatever. We're seeing her do it. That's how she's explaining away a lot of this. I just like, I don't know. You get to choose the friends that you have in your life and the kinds of friendship that you want and the kinds of relationships that you want to have. And in both of those cases, I don't know. I just don't know about the choice of like choosing Lala and choosing Tom. But maybe for Sheena, it wasn't really a choice. It was just a result.
Yeah.
After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable. And a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important and so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold.
And it's also, I mean, we started at the top of the episode talking about Ariana's future on the show.
Mm.
And I wonder if that's a factor in anybody's mind. If cast members are thinking, where's this ship heading?
Yeah.
And whose side do I want to be on? Because if they kind of, you know, therefore, there's obviously a line in the sand, to quote DJ James Kennedy at the beach. But if the time comes where the show goes in one of two directions, they want to be on the right side. They want to be on the side that's sticking around.
Well, I think that's a huge part of Lala's argument.
Yeah.
Is like, Ariana doesn't want to be here anymore. She thinks she's too good for the show. And I think right underneath that is, I think, an element of, if I don't think she's going to be on the show anymore, if she's not as invested as being on the show and she doesn't need it as much as other people do, mm-hmm. why would I continue to side with her?
Yeah.
She's already getting everything. Why does she need to get me as well?
Mm-hmm. Just in like think of it like an office environment.
Yeah.
With a coworker who, you know, is not really investing in the project,
mm-hmm.
sort of just kind of there and seems noncommittal and could drop off at any moment. Like, you're not going to put your eggs in that basket. You know, for like a group project like this, like, it is just a very weird dynamic. And it's so weird to think about the psychology of all of them, because there is the elephant in the room of the television show.
Yeah. And it's a big fucking elephant.
Yeah.
And I think the difficulty with Lala is, like, she keeps trying to do this thing of, if you don't see what I'm seeing, you better take my word for it. And if you don't, you're dumb and an idiot. And I don't know how successful.
I say that too.
I mean, same, obviously, every day of my life. But I just don't know how successful that's going to mm-hmm. be for her. I don't think it has been so far. And I just find myself just genuinely frustrated with what she's saying in real time. But also, we haven't seen the finale yet.
Yeah.
Finale is the very next episode, which I was shocked by.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? It's wild. Yeah. Like, I think the Valley still has a couple episodes, and thank God for that.
Yes.
I think the finale is the very next episode, maybe. Mm. And then we go into the reunion, and I'm just waiting for this reveal of what Lala is saying is going to happen, of like, you're going to see it.
Mm.
Because if we get into a period where she's like, well, take my word for it, maybe it wasn't on camera, but you just best believe that Ariana was acting like a piece of shit. I can't go there with her.
Yeah.
I feel like she's doing a version of what Tom was doing, was trying to mm-hmm. explain away
the pens.
Yeah, I mean, for real, like, yeah. trying to explain away his poor behavior by putting all of the onus on Ariana. And I do also have to note that I did have a delivery the other day and I needed to write something on a bag and I couldn't find a pen. And I was so upset because I was like, motherfucking Tom, like, how many times do you need to buy pens in your life? I would think one time. Mm-hmm. I have gotten away with just getting pens from like stores things, you know, like, so I haven't actually bought a box or bag or fucking truckload of pens recently. And I could have used it at that point. I did thankfully eventually find a pen, but it was a minutes long process.
So you're saying Tom Sandoval is right about everything?
Yeah, I think maybe he should have fucked Rachel for 7 months, because I did in that moment. I did in that moment need a goddamn pen. Mm. And that was very upsetting to me. I wonder who's buying his pens now that Anne's gone. Oh, I guess it's his new assistant.
Oh,
thank God those pens are covered.
Yeah.
Pen 15. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, tell me.
Well, I just kind of sidebar, but speaking, just talking about Lala and the way she's been talking about the show, this is a public service. This is a plea.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Bravo celebrities, stop doing Amazon Lives. I am sick of it. I hate it. I hate seeing all of these clips of you talking to the camera about all of this stuff while you're on Amazon Live. Mm-mm. Of all places. Have some decorum.
Have some self-respect.
Literally, I can't get over how this has become this new, this is like the new Bravo blog. And I don't care for it.
And I love the Bravo blog.
I love that.
I love when there used to be comments on the Bravo blog and we would see people just like fight with each other. But I loved the Bravo blog, and I don't understand what, I mean, obviously it's money, but I don't understand what exactly the Bravo lebs are getting that, well, I mean, that Bravo money. Refuses to pay them is once again money, because they're just sharing so much that I'm like, I can only see it when a creator has posted a clip. I don't even know how to attend an Amazon Live. I don't even understand. I just
like,
honestly,
how many people are in there? Who are they talking to?
I don't know. Is it like an Instagram Live? Because they're getting questions.
It looks like the way that they're sitting there. But the thing is, whenever I see a clip, there's some difference where I can always tell when it's an Amazon Live versus some other type of live. Like, there's an aura to it.
Yeah.
And are they selling stuff? Like, what are they just hanging out? Like, is it?
There's always that clothing rack behind them. But then do they have it? I really don't know how Amazon works in that level. Like, do they have it like a store on Amazon where they're just selling their favorite?
They're doing LuLaRoe.
Literally, it's Bravoholic LuLaRoe, and I don't entirely get it. Also, I assume that part of Tom Sandoval, not that he needed to be really persuaded to continue to film VPR, but the fact that he got a fucking, speaking of things that annoy me, the fact that he got a fucking music video and they were okay to have him like lip syncing and obviously add loop his studio audio on top of what he was doing at that dumb concert was really annoying to me, because I am a survivor of a Tom Sandoval Most Extras concert.
And it did not sound like that.
Mid-Scandoval when he came to New York City, and it was absolute, that was not his voice. That's his voice after it's been zhuzhed, and it was definitely not live. And I was a little annoyed at that.
Yeah.
I was a little annoyed because that's not what we had to put up with.
Have you heard, honestly, star of the show, Queen Ally's new
Girls
music,
Girl?
Girls Girl, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
incredible.
Dun, dun. I love it.
It's
like,
so good.
I want to put it as the music when I like put up a post about an episode, but then I feel like that might be annoying to people. But like, it genuinely has a little, it has a little jingle jangle.
Oh, yeah. Did you see they performed at some like children's birthday? I don't know what I kept seeing clips of it, and I'm like, I don't know what song that was, but no, she's a star.
And James kept trying to like hype the crowd, but like, what can you do with kids?
Yeah,
is that
he
was just kind of like gesticulating? Like, he was.
Yeah.
I have to say, James on the after show, James on the episodes, 100% down.
Oh, he's 100% phenomenal. Down. And I love Ally so much.
Yeah.
As just like when they get like a new addition that works, it's like magic, because so often this show specifically it's such a delicate game of bringing in new people.
Yeah.
And I think it helps when it's organic, of like quite literally dating somebody. So like, Ally has been phenomenal. Honestly, I love the presence of Joe. That might it's so just fun and crazy to me. I feel so bad for her, but the like her sitting cross-legged during those confessionals.
Oh my God.
There's a sense of self there where I'm like, this person is so just like real and dropped in that I can put up with almost anything.
She makes me so uncomfortable. I don't want to see her talking about fucking Schwartz. I don't want to hear Schwartz talking about like ever having sex except for that moment with Katie. And I was very down for the idea of them having like a one night of affair with like a Snickers bar or something else. I was here for it.
Yeah.
That was cute. But I don't want to see this whole thing with Joe. Like, I'm sorry that he's treated her like shit, genuinely. Also, she knows who he is or should at this point. Mm-hmm. I think she's seen episodes, let alone his marriage to Katie.
I feel like knowing Joe as I do, I feel like she watches all of that and is like, that's my man. Like, I feel like that's so appealing to her. And there's almost something there, but it's just so crazy. I'm just like, zane. And I understand where public opinion lies, and I can commiserate, but I'm just, when someone is so just real, whatever that means.
Yeah, she's too real. Too real for this reality TV. I don't think I really want to like hang out with someone while I'm sitting on my couch and they're on my TV screen who is a hairstylist who's very comfortable cutting someone's hair in the living room of their apartment that she may or may not have also been staying in at that point, mm-hmm. and then just leaving the hair on the floor. There's just something about her like spiritual and other forms of hygiene mm-hmm. that I just am so grossed out with, and I just can't. I can't do another season. The only positive,
I don't think there's room for her anyway.
I don't think that there's room for her. We were talking about the fact that the cast is too small, but there's certainly not room in this smaller cast for Joe. And the only thing that I could see is like, but I think people apologize to Joe at the reunion, if I'm like remembering what I've heard about it, is like maybe some Katie Joe tension. But do we really need that? Do we really need that?
I do, but no. No, I mean, I would say in terms of there being room for her or not, I mean more so in terms of it does feel like her story's organically wrapping up, but I do like that it's an organic story. Like, it's a real thing.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Happened.
She really is this person.
Yes, and like she came through. Like, that's my bread and butter with these shows is when we catch someone in the net, like on accident almost, and that's how they got folded in, just because that was what was actually going on, rather than they were hired and got a W-2 and like all of this stuff. Like, this just feels like the camera just kind of turned to the left a little and, oh, who's this crazy lady? Like, perfect. And that's a vibe that I enjoyed. But yeah, in terms of longevity, like, if it feels like it organically wrapped up, like, it's about the journey, not the destination.
And also, in addition to that, like, organic whatever, you cannot tell me that one of the reasons that Joe is like, attracted to Tom is because he's on reality TV. You cannot tell me that. There's no way. There's no way that that didn't factor in for her.
Yeah.
I think she's trying to make this happen for herself, and she just personally makes me uncomfortable.
But in that sense, she's also so different from the typical wanting to be on reality TV person that we've seen. Like, she does feel so much more granola in a way, whereas other people, when they come on and are actively wanting to be reality stars, like, are so drastically different than this woman. So I feel like, but again, I won't deny that that's could be part of the sheen, but I also don't know how far back their history goes. I feel like she just blew in one day with the wind, but it's a fascinating dynamic. I always just love zooming out and seeing who else is around these people. Bring back Christina Kelly.
Bring back Christina Kelly. I feel like Joe's someone who like brings home a frog, which frankly for
the
Schwartz,
frog brings her home.
I know, true. I think for Schwartz, maybe that's a good fit because we have seen his interest in reptiles. So like maybe they can bond over that. She just feels like someone who like sees a frog at the side of the road and is like, oh, I can make a happy home for this frog.
Yeah, shoebox full of grass.
Right? Like, I just can't vibe with that energy. I feel like she gets sushi from a gas station. I feel like she's happy to have a sandwich, even if it's a little moist. Like, there's just something about her choices where I'm like, we need to have not even boundaries, but like, taste her. I'm not against Bravo Lab having a lack of taste. That's in fact a job requirement. Yes. But I just, something about her, I'm like, I just,
something about her.
I mean, She is the inspiration for the sandwich shop. Yeah, she wouldn't go to something about her. She would go to something about her, but she would be too full from the like grilled cheese she had at I don't even know what place. Yeah. A place that I just would hope a person wouldn't consume food. She found it. Someone hands her a grilled cheese and she's like, "This is great. Thank you. Also, what's your name?" "Oh, great. Thomas. Let's hang out together." Literally. Like, I just, it's, oh, and I didn't even mean to say Thomas. I can't vibe with that. We need sandwiches to exist. It's something about her and other sandwich establishments. I don't know. There's something about her and like plastic wrap. I can't get it out of my head.
Honestly, maybe. Okay, now I'm just like full on campaigning, but there's almost like a season one gritty energy about her, like a Laura Lee.
Like a Kristen.
Oh, yeah. Like OG Kristen. Like there, maybe that's the nostalgia factor too for me of just these like wacky side characters before it became a little bit more overly like sanitized and glossy, right?
Yeah, she would have been a better fit before some of these people grew up.
Yeah. So, but maybe it's like a little bit of nostalgia for me. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious what, moving forward, if they try to experiment with new people again, because they really did it that one time. It failed horribly with like Dana and Max and Brett and Vanya and Sasha and Masha and Spike. But I'm curious, as the flies, they're dropping like flies, they're shipping on over to the valley. I'm curious what casting is up to in the fall.
Okay, we need a pivot to talking about the valley, because that actually reminds me of something that I was thinking to myself and it was like bringing me joy. So in the meantime, this episode certainly has Tom Smith Smythe. Can you tell the AGs and tippers what you've got cooking over at vulture.com and where folks can follow you on social and read more of your amazing work?
Yep, I'm currently wrapping up recaps for Pomerel on Apple TV for Vulture. I also
I need to catch up.
It's a heavy one, but
is it heavy?
No, just in terms of like the amount of episodes.
Density.
Like
they're
And then also just covering run of the mill Bravo stuff over there typically. On socials, I am found at Tom_Smythe_ SMYTH on Instagram and Twitter, and then also have the Housewives focused Instagram account at Milk and Don't Call Me Honey, which features a lot of Housewives quotes as Rupi Kaur style poetry, I guess is a way to describe it, but find me on social media.
Awesome. And guys, speaking of all things social, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and also Allegedly Threads. And speaking of what was mentioned at the beginning of this episode, there's a 2-part Patreon spectacular up now, which features my thoughts on VPR, Summer House, as well as the thing I mentioned the other day about there's some comparison in my head between Real Housewives of Potomac and Southern Charm. That is certainly mentioned, as well as a 3,000-word plus satchel of gold sent by someone well known to Patreon AGs, Hannah from Chicago, a licensed therapist who went into the deepest of dives when it comes to sexism and misogyny on Summer House, as well as The Valley and Vanderpump Rules, and also just a fascinating take at like another perspective on Carl and Lindsay, including what we're watching on TV, as well as the audience's reaction, that I found absolutely fascinating. Both of those episodes, I think it's around like 2 hours, are up on the AG page now. $2 a month gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month gets you 4 bonus episodes. And that tier is where you can listen to those Patreon episodes that I just mentioned, the 2 that just went up. And of course, there's also a premium tier where you can record a Patreon app with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki. So all that and more is available at patreon.com/andysgirls. Tom Smith Smythe, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode was, dare I say, good as gold.
Oh, incredible.
Oh my God, what a moment. All right, guys, thanks to you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.